room. I'd like to welcome everybody and thank you for serving on the Budget Committee, for starters. So we'll go to the roll call. Kathy Strotska here. Ann Price.
Here.
Luann Anderson.
Here.
Dan Doyle.
He is here.
Scott Culp.
Here.
Bill Height. Karen Matthews.
Almost here.
Bill Height is here.
Coming in the door.
Okay. Gary Link. Gary's missing. And Mark Miller.
Here.
And I am Tom Donahue, the current chair. So roll call is over, and now we'll go to the Budget Committee officer election. This time I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we appoint Scott Culp as chair of the committee.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion carried. Would you pass the gavel, please?
Oh, boy.
So now you need a secretary, right?
Yes, we need a secretary now. Our nominations are now open for secretary.
I nominate Karen Matthews.
I'll second.
Anybody else? Karen Matthews. All those in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations.
You did that to me last year, too. Okay.
All you do is sign the paper.
Well, I guess now it's time to get on with the show. And so we get a budget message from the chair.
Yes, thank you, Scott. I know all of you have read the budget message, so I'll try not to read the whole thing verbatim, but this has good information, especially for those in our community that may want to listen to the meeting later on. So I'll go through this, and I'll try to cover the important things, but there's a lot of good information here, so I'll get started. The budget message for May 20th, 2025, the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority budget is comprised of six separate funds and is proposed in a format that facilitates transparency and sound financial management. It is our intention to submit and manage the budget in the most open and straightforward manner possible, which will promote consistent and careful management of all resources. A bit about the budget process. The preparation of a budget begins with input from staff members and the board. This input, coupled with a projection of authority reserves, revenues, and expenditures, provides a sound basis for effective financial management. The five-member budget committee and the PCJWSA board of directors meet publicly to review the budget documents as proposed by the budget officer. The budget committee reviews the proposed budget and either revises the proposed figures or approves them as presented. Once the budget committee approves the budget, it is then published in summary form in a local newspaper of general circulation. On June 10, 2025, a public hearing will be held to obtain additional ratepayer comments. Publication of a budget summary in the newspaper is also required. At the advertised public hearing, the board will hear public testimony regarding the proposed budget previously approved by the budget committee. The board of directors will formally adopt the budget by resolution on June 24th, 2025. Move on to the different funds in the budget. PCJWSA operates with six separate funds. Those funds are as follows: the 002 Master Plan Fund, the 003 Bonded Debt Fund, the 004 Sewer System Development Charge and Capital Improvement Charge Fund, the 005 Water System Development Charge and Capital Improvement Charge Fund, and the 104 Sewer and Operation and Maintenance Fund, and the 105 Water Operation and Maintenance Fund. In the 25-26 budget analysis, we have included the 24-25 year-to-date actual revenues and expenses through April 30th, 2025. In order to have a budget ready to go on July 1st, we have to begin this process, obviously, before the prior fiscal year is over. So that's why the numbers in the budget only reflect through April 30th of this year. The various funds, a little bit more of a description. The Master Plan Fund served as the for the wastewater treatment plant improvements. This fund was closed at the beginning of the 21-22 fiscal year, and the money was transferred to the O3 fund for wastewater treatment plant revenue bond debt. The 003 bonded debt fund is used to service the debt on the May 2007 general obligation bond. During fiscal year 25-26, PCJWSA will levy $366,000 in property taxes. During the beginning of the 21-22 fiscal year, PCJWSA moved the debt service for the USDA loan for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade from Fund 002 to Fund 003. The working capital comes from wastewater treatment plant capital improvement charges that began in fiscal year 15 and 16 and currently range from $8.50 for residential and nonprofit users up to $123.25 per month for some large commercial accounts. The sewer system development charge and capital improvement fund, which is the 004 fund, and I'll address also at the same time the water system development charge and capital improvement charge fund, which is the 005 fund. These funds are used for financing sewer and water capital improvements, and they are not used for day-to-day operational expenses. These funds' main sources of revenue are system development charges for sewer and water connection fees and capital improvement charges, which are included in the monthly utility bills. PCJWSA SDCs are adjusted on July 1st each year, based on the Engineering News Record Construction Cost Index. Although this index is updated and published quarterly, our annual SDC rate adjustments have been historically based on a single update of this index, which occurs in April of each year. However, several years ago, to reduce the potential impacts of short-term market volatility on our SDC rate structure, we have been averaging the previous four quarters to determine our annual SDC rate adjustments. This calculation method indicates that we should increase our SDC rates for both water and sewer SDCs by 1.37% for the next fiscal year. For this budget cycle, we have projected the need for 10 new water and sewer service connections. Those projections are part of our 25-26 budget.
How many did we have in 24-25 so far?
We actually only have four sewer and five water. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to finish the year a little short of projections this particular year. The previous 2 years we had projected 10 water and sewer SDCs, and I think we were at 10 both years. So we were hit those right on the nose. But the fiscal year in, what we're wrapping up now, we've only seen about half of what we projected. The also wanted to mention that the current budget authorizes a capital improvement charge of $3 per user per month. We are proposing no increase to that for the fiscal year 25-26 budget. The last two funds, which are the sewer and water operations and maintenance funds, are used to pay the day-to-day operating expenses of the authority. These items include labor, office expenses, solid waste disposal, insurance, electricity, transportation costs, replacement of valves and fittings, etc. The 104 and 105 fund expenses are paid for with monthly water and sewer user fees. Monthly user fees must be high enough to ensure that all day-to-day operating expenses are adequately funded. So wanted to provide a couple of highlights of the sewer and water operation and the maintenance funds for the fiscal year that we are currently in now. Revenue is up in the 104 fund by 3.6% and 4.2% in the 105 fund. This is to be expected with last year's rate increase. Another highlight is payroll-related expenses are up about 6% in the 104 fund and 23% in the 105 fund, which is primarily due to the wage survey conducted in September of 2024. Material and supplies expenses increased in the 104 fund by 11% and the 105 fund by 17% in the fiscal year that we are currently in. Where we are proposing for the 25-26 fiscal year, we've been notified by SDIS that our medical insurance will increase by 6%, and property casualty insurance rates are increasing by 14% beginning in July 2025.
John, I have a question with regard to the increase for that insurance is over twice what the personal insurance is. Has it anything to do with a lot of our dated infrastructure? I can't talk to this.
Well, I'm not sure I can answer that question conclusively. We know they're going up. Did our agent tell us anything about why that's occurring?
Well, part of it is they also cover crime and cybersecurity, and so that's part of it. We did do... I drove a guy around and did like an appraisal of everything, and some of our stuff was undervalued. So now that it has a higher value, I think they're insuring it higher also.
Insurance has just gone crazy, too.
It's going up for everybody.
In general, yeah.
Property, cars, health, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So,
in addition, we are expecting the price for parts, materials, supplies, and services to increase again during the next year. You know, there's talk of tariffs and stuff. We don't know exactly how that's going to impact us at this point. But one thing we do know is that our costs continue to go up, whether they're chemical costs, fuel costs, insurance costs. We know they will continue to go up. Therefore, we are proposing a 6% increase to our water service rates for the 25-26 fiscal year. Funding levels, the proposed budget for fiscal year 25-26 marks a continuation of the authority's financial policies and accounting principles of previous years. The funding levels summarized for each fund. As we described, the master plan fund 002 has a dollar amount of zero after transferring that to the 003 fund several years ago. The bonded debt fund is currently at $2,527,669. The sanitary SDC fund, which is the 004 fund, currently has a budget of $1,425,651. The water SDC fund, $2,170,628. The sewer O&M fund 104, $1,262,805. And the water O&M fund 105, $1,130,622. For a total of all the funds of $8,517,375. To conclude the budget message, PCJ has faced many financial challenges during the previous fiscal year, including inflation, supply chain issues, funding capital improvement projects, and maintaining aging infrastructure. Balancing these needs by managing our resources efficiently and passing increased operating costs to our customers is critical to our future financial well-being. PCJWSA continues to address these challenges with integrity, resourcefulness, and fiscal responsibility, which we believe are reflected in this fiscal year
2025-2026 budget. So can I ask, start with a question? So last year the funding levels, all funds came to $8,591,808, and this year it's $8,517,000, which is less than last year. So why is it less when everything is going up?
Well, a lot of it has to do with how much money we spent this year. So we don't have as much working capital as we did last year at the end of the year. That's going to be part of it.
Because we've had some big projects that we paid for this
we
year.
We have done a lot of big projects. I mean, like all of our
lift stations
are done now, well, except Woods. But,
and those was the Ripple part of it?
That was $150,000. We did pay anything at Ripple this year.
We made some good progress on some big projects.
We bought a new truck this year.
And so we're not anticipating any great big huge projects next year in the hundreds of thousands range.
We're expecting some big projects, but nothing individually that would be equivalent to, say, what the Ruppel project was.
So, in the bonded debt fund, 003 on page 204.
So we're going to go through each fund, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just double checking.
All right. So last year was $396,000. This year is $366,000.
Yes.
So that's because we paid part of it off?
Yes. So that those monies from the property taxes fund our GO bond that pays off Corn Creek. And we have a schedule of how much that payment is going to cost us every year. And it gets lower and lower. So this year we only need, I think it's actually like $365,900 something.
Uh-huh.
So I just made it even $366. Last year it was a higher than that because of the interest payment in there as well.
Okay, so, and you said that there's only four water and sewer hookups instead of 10.
As of right now.
Yeah.
As of right now. Mm-hmm. How are we compensating for that?
We can't. It's kind of just a wild guess.
That would kind of be reflected in the working capital, right?
A little bit.
But they're also in the 004 fund, so if we're going to go through each fund individually, maybe we could get all the questions out for 003.
So those monies that we didn't spend, that we anticipated more hookups, that goes into the working capital for the next year budget? Is that how that works?
No. If we anticipated having 10 and we only get 5, I don't anticipate that we're going to get those other 5 in the next month. Definitely not.
So that money was just budgeted?
It was just budgeted.
Always a guess.
It's just a guess.
So it's, okay. So there's
always a guess.
There's not that cash sitting in the bank.
Yeah, you can't guess on your expenses if you don't guess on your revenues.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
So if somebody comes in the last week, because I see there's construction going on all over
sometimes.
Now. Yeah. Let's say somebody comes in the last week and pays for their hookups. Mm-hmm. Where does that money go in regards to this year and next year?
It will end up going into the working capital.
For next year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's going to be made in this year, technically we won't be able to spend it because we haven't planned for it for next year.
Okay.
And I do want to say that there is a reasonably good chance that we will see some more of these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, described it. Could, yeah.
Well, and people generally know that our SDC rates go up on July 1st.
So, yeah.
And so a lot of times we do get a bit of a rush on it at the last minute. This is all just speculation, but based off what we've seen in prior years, there are people that want to get their SDC locked in and paid for before the rate increase happens.
Makes sense.
So do we have any other questions on the bonded debt fund?
I anticipate it's like that.
How many years do we have on that bonded debt?
For the GO bond?
Yeah.
We only have two more years.
Two more years. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Any other questions on bonded debt? Sewer SBC fund? Any questions?
Also with, so I have a comment on these. If you look at the second page of the 004 stuff, under the capital outlay, it would be like equipment, safety equipment, all of these are lined out at the very back of your book, also within our project list.
Yeah.
And it'll have the fund number on there, so you kind of know what projects we're anticipating that we want to do. Can't guarantee they're going to be done, but those are the things we want to do. I do need to make one change on here, so if you do decide to approve the budget, we'll have to do it with changes. We need to move 80,000. Yeah, 80,000 from new construction to equipment, because I put a transfer pump under new construction.
Which page are you on?
It doesn't have a page number.
Is this the
page 2 of the 004 fund?
So you're going to move 80,000 from where?
From new construction up to equipment. Right now, new construction has 305, 155.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just got to take 80,000 out of there.
Just the regular equipment, and just the 20, so that'd be 100.
You're going to add 80?
I can take 80 out of there and put 80 into the equipment fund. That's 20.
Okay.
And as long as that's reflected in the minutes and the discussion prior to approval, that's
so it doesn't make any
acceptable
difference
way to.
No, it won't change the total at all. It just I put it down the wrong line item.
Okay. How's Dan doing? Dan doesn't.
Well, he's still here.
He's still there.
He's just not there.
Okay, just checking.
He's there, but not there.
Yeah, it popped off the screen again. I don't know why it keeps doing that.
So all these 25 adopted is what we adopted last year, and 25 actual is actually through April 30th.
Correct.
Right.
So it just seems like there's a lot of big numbers in there that haven't worked. Not close to anything.
On the expenses?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard to spend $1.4 million when you have other projects and things going on.
Yeah, a lot of it does have to do with these projects. And, you know, you can only juggle so many at a time. And we like to get all this stuff done, but the reality is we'll be lucky to get three-quarters of it done.
I mean, one of the projects that will be getting thrown in there shortly is we're getting some paving done in the next month and a half, hopefully.
And that'll be in this year, but
that'll be
obviously.
So that will be an expense that comes out of the new construction.
Any questions on 004? Move along to water SDC on 005. And the majority of the water now is coming from Horn Creek, right?
Typically, it comes from Horn Creek.
Yeah. We didn't do anything for the wells anymore?
We do. And it's often weather dependent. When winter time, we get lots of heavy rain. The creek runs pretty high and dirty. We go on the wells. So we try to stay on the Horn Creek as much as we can. But it's good that we have those alternate water sources for the times when Horn Creek is flowing high and muddy. And you know, that happens a lot in the wintertime. We won't be on the wells much at all when the weather's good.
And how many of those do we have now? We've got the, it used to be the Dune Wells and the Spit Wells, and I thought the Spit Wells wasn't a very good name for drinking water.
and we, those are still our two well fields. We've got three well heads, individual wells at each location, and they're still doing, still there when we need them, still doing their thing.
And one of the potential problems would be an earthquake or something, it'd be saltwater intrusion, and then we would have a problem with the
we've always lived in fear of that.
Well, and that's probably would impact primarily the spit wells. You know, the water quality is the same as it's been for years, and we haven't seen any of that. If there were ever were to occur, we would have to find a new site to drill some new wells.
In the Horn Creek, we've got the. Do we have to maintain those water rights for Horn Creek, or how does that work?
We do, and. One of the things I've been working on, it's amazing how long the process takes for water rights, but we have extended our water use permit for Horn Creek. It is extended now until the year 2070.
Wow.
So should far outlast us. we've also filed a claim of beneficial use so that we can certify more of the water that's currently allowed on that permit to where it becomes a water rights certificate that we own instead of a water use permit that we just we don't officially own it, but we have rights to the water. Once we certify those water rights belong to us forever. And so we are waiting for the certificate of beneficial use for the additional amount that we claimed. And believe it or not, this is usually a 4 or 5 year process to get that passed. But with the fee, we've expedited that, and we are expecting to have that water rights certificate in hand within the next 2 weeks. So our water rights are in good shape and locked up for the next 50 years.
That's good. Yeah.
That's great.
And by then, people just be taking little tablets. They won't even need any water.
That's right. In between trips to Mars.
Right. Something like that.
In that Horn Creek is kind of a neat name. I was out to dinner one night, and they said, What would you like to drink? And I said, Horn Creek on the rocks. And the guy looked at me and he says, I'll have to talk to my bartender about that.
We should all turn
that. That's a great name, though.
Yeah,
it
is.
That's funny.
So I don't think a lot of people, at least the bartender, didn't know where the water was coming from.
May I ask a question, please?
Mm-hmm. Go, Dan.
This may be directed to Rochelle, and it's, I apologize for being a very basic question, but I'm a thick-headed guy. When we budget for contingency funds, mm-hmm. are contingency funds funded for 003, 004, not the bonded debt fund, but the other funds, are those contingency funds used up during the fiscal year?
No, we've never used them, but they are there for emergency purposes.
Okay, and what would qualify as an emergency? What's going on at the Kiwanis Shores?
No.
Now that's an emergency?
Sorry, my idea of an emergency and your idea is very different. My idea would be if we run out of money in a fund. If we run out of money in a particular section of our budget, we can either use contingency funds or do a supplemental budget, which means the board has to get together, they have to approve it, it has to go to the county.
Probably depending on how much it is.
And depending on how much it is. So sometimes it's a lot easier to just have a contingency line item so that we have a little bit of spare money sitting
there. Rochelle's birthday party.
Well, I guess, you know, some of the things that I'm reading in here is that everything is going up, and there's really no way to identify what the inflationary costs are, any tariff costs are. It's a guess as to really what it's going to cost to do things in the future, in the next fiscal year.
Yes.
And I guess my question is, are you, John, and Rochelle comfortable with the price increases or what's recommended for increase to the consumer, that it's going to be enough without me digging into each individual account and what was spent, what's going to be budgeted, all that? I'm looking for more of a gut level response from the manager and Rochelle.
Thanks. Well, you know, I think a lot of it's a bit of a juggling act. Of course, with this fund, it's important to note that SDC revenue can only be spent on certain types of expenses. So, you know, we are a little limited there. We can't really use SDC revenue for the day-to-day operations or anything along those lines. You know, in terms of capital improvement projects, wanting to ensure we have funds for capacity expansion or anything else we need to meet the demands of the future. I think currently the way it sits now, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. If you look up at the working capital, yes, it's kind of a guess, but it's a very, very close guess. That's how much money we have sitting in that fund. We have $1.8 million. So I'm not concerned that we're going to go over, particularly in the 004 or 005 this year. I don't see us spending $1.8 million.
No, I don't either. I think the most of the risk, Dan, and most of the speculation and the unknown has to do with the 005 and 006 funds, right? Which is our day-to-day operating.
Yeah, 104 and 105.
Oh, 104 and 105,
yeah,
excuse
the
me.
The operating.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are super impacted by the inflation.
Yeah, and of course, it's always a balance. You've got to be sure you maintain your solvency, and you also want to impact the customers as least amount as possible. And that's always the balancing game we play with these budgets. I think based on what we've seen, and it, of course, very, very difficult to predict the future, but based on what I've seen, I believe that the rate increase that we've proposed should cover everything that we can reasonably foresee. I guess that's the best way I can answer that, Dan. You know, it would be nice to have an abundance of contingency, but we also have to be mindful about our customers and wanting to keep the rates as low as we can, but also to make sure that year to year our rate increases aren't volatile, meaning, you know, we raise it 15% one year and we realize, wow, we don't need that much, and then we decrease it 8% the next year. We would much rather do it in smaller incremental rates based off of, you know, our analysis and our projections. And so far that method has served us pretty well.
Okay, so that's annual, but in reading master plans, this stuck in my mind, and I could have read it wrong, but the master plan, engineering's analysis of the master plan for the next 20 years is that we currently have insufficient infrastructure to put up, you know, what's needed in 20 years. Now, I probably won't be around in 20 years, but I might be, and I'm just wondering how those kinds of things they come up like the treatment plant being a bonded fund. Taxpayers are paying for that each month or, you know, each year on their tax bills. But what about the future? We're talking an annual budget, but how much do you put into an annual budget of growth for the future?
Well, and one thing to take note of is nearly every improvement in the master plans is a capital improvement and will be paid for with system development charge funds.
So we are hoping that we will continue to grow.
Yes. So we are hoping that we continue to grow. That's why we don't really like to see our projections fall short for those funds. But I will say that another option is we're going to have this GO bond paid off in a couple years. We could go after another GO bond and take care of maybe two or three big jobs on our master plan list. The unfortunate thing is rate increases aren't going to help us with our master plan projects. We're going to have to rely on system development charges for that. And other than increasing those on a yearly basis based off of economic indices, it is hard to account for what may or may not come in to supplement the funds for doing those kinds of projects. But this does give me an opportunity to mention the possibility of another GO bond once we pay this one off, and we could levy property taxes to help us pay for some of those big projects. And it is something that we should seriously consider.
Mr. Chairman?
One other thing about SDCs, it's important to remember that it's an educated guess on what to build into the budget. And while this year it may not look like we're going to get to 10, there have definitely been years where we might have budgeted 10 and came in with 20.
Yeah, just two years ago we ended up with 42.
And we budgeted for 10.
Yeah.
So that is another illustration of how how tricky that is. You really just have to pick a number and go with it.
It's a WAG.
That's it. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, you just can't predict.
Mr. Chairman? Dan, I'd like to also point out here that several years ago, and I believe it was the Citizens Advisory Committee did a survey of the buildable lots in our service area, and it was a ballpark number, and that was, I'm thinking that was about 4 years ago, Ann, something like that?
I can't recall.
But it was somewhere around 600 buildable lots in our service area. So when we're talking about system development charges, there's a possibility of that many new services going on in the next, 20 years or so as we look at the master plan. That was also part of their analysis.
That number has been revised recently.
I think it's
now about 400.
Yeah.
So just as a kind of an update to your point.
But there is another consideration now that accessory dwelling units have been approved by the county. Mm-hmm. That gives us what we used to think build out was in our community may not be what build out is anymore. Theoretically, every lot could put in an accessory dwelling unit that would require additional SDCs. So that's something else to possibly factor in looking toward the future. On one hand, I'm not happy about it, and the fact that, you know, our master plans make projections that didn't account for any of that. But on the other hand, that we could have, there could be a lot more lots more developed than a single family dwelling that with accessory dwelling units, and those will be another source of revenue for us for these capital improvement projects.
That move has been enlarged by a recent state law. I think it was SB 406. I'm not sure I've got the number right, but anyway, requiring all residential zones to allow multifamily housing. So we've just been through a process. Mark and I were on the land use committee, and Sarah Apsher is doing this for all unincorporated communities in the county. By state law, this has to happen. And within designated setbacks and height limits and everything else, we're now going to be required to allow for duplexes, triplexes, quadruplexes, townhomes, condominiums, cottage clusters. It's quite a big change from of state law trying to address what's called middle housing. Mm-hmm. And so that makes our current master plans
obsolete.
Well, not obsolete, because so many of our 400 buildable lots would not accommodate a cottage cluster. They're not big enough.
Sure.
So it's not a disaster scenario at all. But in addition to ADUs, there will be approval of more multifamily housing.
And you know that means potentially more SDC revenue for us to achieve all those projects that we have lined out as being a need for us in the next 20 years.
And the economy could crash tomorrow and we would have no building whatsoever.
Right. So the bottom line is this budgeting process is doing our best under current conditions and what we think we might anticipate to come up with a reasonable budget.
Yep.
And an ADU would be charged the same as a normal hookup.
In many cases, that's exactly the way it is. In fact, we've got a relatively new ordinance, so that would require another full set of water and sewer system development charges.
They have separate. So another meter. Water meter and everything.
Yeah, separate water meter, yeah. Separate service lines.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
So if you said this area that we have, you have potential of 3,000 lots. Well, you really don't have 3,000 lots. You might have 6,000 if they all wanted an ADU.
Right.
Yeah.
True. And that multifamily housing is, you know, each unit has to pay the separate SDCs as well.
You can even say that lot across the road from Chester's. It's one lot, but it's going to have five condos on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's five SDCs.
And our current rates, I noticed, would they go up, you say 6%?
Are we talking SDCs?
Yes.
1.6.
Oh, excuse me.
I think it was 1.37.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. Yeah. I just read it, too.
Was it well, that was for an average three-quarter inch line, that's like 19,500 or something like that.
Yeah, Rochelle knows that off the top of her head better than I do.
The three average water line is 3/4 inch, so that it was in here somewhere. 19,000, I think.
Yeah, I believe next year it'll be 19,580. Right now it's 19,315.
It's almost $10,000 for the sewer.
Yes.
Okay, so it'd be approximately $39,000 for a single hookup. $29,000. Expensive, but we need it.
Okay, this is not stopping people.
Okay.
That's what I was.
Getting back to 0.0 points. I have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at this expensive. Maybe the answer will help me go through all of these. I'm looking at under expenses, second from the bottom, engineering, whereas adopted for 2025 was $75,000, so I'm going to go five times that for the actual.
Yeah, we haven't spent any money on that.
This is further on the sewer side?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's on the water side.
It's on the water.
So we're
on 0.05. We're on 0.05.
First page.
On 105?
On 0.05.
0.05.
You got it.
If you go down there to engineering.
And it'll say 25 adopted with 75,000 and 25 actual $548.
We just had not.
Oh, yeah.
So we haven't had any projects to engineer to spend the money on.
We just haven't spent the money.
We have not spent the money.
We spent a lot of money on engineering.
Yes, we have.
Well, the engineering for the generator shacks and stuff?
That comes out of the capital outlay section.
Okay.
So this is
okay.
Just for system development. If we were going to put in a new road with new lines or a new lift station, completely new lift station, not like redo, or something like that, it would have to come out of the system development because they would have to engineer that project for us.
Yeah.
But we just haven't done those projects yet.
So can we go back to the summary page 3 or 4, with sewer and water operations 104 and 105. So if you answer this, then probably you're going to answer a whole bunch of my other questions. Okay, so last year payroll-related expenses were up 11.2 for 104 and 11.8 for 105.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. Then payroll-related expenses are up 6% for 104 for the new budget,
okay,
and 23% for 105.
That is based on where the people are working. If the employees are working more on the sewer side or more on the water side, the money comes out of that particular fund. So especially with overtime call-outs, if we have two people working at Horn Creek, like we've had the stream flow gauging thing, we have particular people that are working out there. They might be higher paid employees. So all of their payroll is going to go to water. And that's why that is probably higher.
Okay.
It could go down at some point if one of the higher paid employees starts working in the sewer side more often.
Okay. Well, see, and that was a question I had, too. It's like, well, wait a second, shouldn't these be even? Well, it depends on where people claim their time.
Okay, yeah. I got that.
Because they don't work.
Yeah. And as you know, we have to designate everything sewer, everything water.
Right.
One or the other. And
some, I think on that, on the payroll expenses, where it's just 6% in 104 and 23 in 105, that's a big difference.
It does feel like a big difference, but yeah, it does have to do with certain employees working in certain areas.
I mean, I get it, but it's a big difference.
It is, and yeah, it caused me a little bit of pause too. But that's the way that the timesheets and the time people spent worked out.
Well, especially since we have people got increases in pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I guess.
And maybe promotions.
Yes.
All right. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So which one are we in? Are we in 104?
We're down at 105. I think we're done with 105, aren't we?
No,
we're done with
105. So we're in 105.
So we're in 104.
104.
So sewer operating.
So basically, Rochelle, the adopted for 25 and the proposed for 26 are exactly the same?
Yes.
And so even though there's increased expenses, we're kind of assuming that those will be paid out of water versus sewer.
Well, we increased quite a bit last year. I think we increased sewer by 20%.
Okay.
It was really high.
Okay.
This year we have found, we made some changes. We're using a different chemical in the wastewater treatment plant that costs us 1/10. So we saved a ton of money on that. That was not anticipated at the end of last year. We've saved some money in some other places. So
you just decided to go with what?
Just go with that. I think we will be safe.
Okay. Which is why there's no increase in the fees for sewer, but just for water. You put it all.
Yeah. Another thing. In those rates, so we have a difference between residential customers and vacation rental customers. On the sewer side, vacation rental customers and commercial customers get charged for sewer consumption based on their water consumption.
because the assumption is however much water goes through the drain, through the faucet goes down the drain. But the vacation, we have more vacation rentals this year than we've ever had. And they pay more on the sewer side than a residential customer too. So we're making more money on the sewer side. And that wasn't anticipated either. And we've had a lot of...
Do we get anything from the county?
Yes. For all the county parks.
And is the Pelican parking lot or the, mm-hmm. that new restroom they have in there? All right, that's all I need to know.
It's county park. they get a bill too.
They get a bill too. There's only one place that doesn't get a bill, and that's Bob Straub. But our wells are on their property, so
we have an agreement.
An agreement.
I understand right. that too.
So we're now on sewer operating. Are we there now?
And that's up to you guys.
The 104.
104.
Okay, so I'm back again.
Okay.
So on 25, operator 2, 59,000. On this one, operator 2, 107,000.
Our anticipation is two of our employees that have annual reviews in July are going to get promoted.
So this represents two people, not one person.
Okay.
Okay. And then utility worker, we don't have a utility worker?
We don't have one.
No. And we're not going to get one?
We're not
going to
hire one.
And payroll taxes have stayed the same. How can they stay the same when people are making more money?
I believe that... That's a great question. I don't know why they're staying the same.
It looks like 2025, it was 30,000, and our anticipation is 35,000.
It's so far. We still have two more months of payroll.
So 25 proposed was 35,000, right. and 26 proposed is 35,000. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to believe that it's going to be the same.
It may not be. It really depends. Last year when that was proposed, we had two less employees. Now we have two more, but that can always change too.
And Rochelle, in hindsight, I may wish that...
You guys can make changes. We can make changes to this. But if we add money to one of these, we've got to take it away from somewhere else.
Well, what I was thinking is the OIT versus the operator one.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Are you going to promote some people?
One person possibly.
But not for another 8-9 months.
So it would be almost the next budget cycle.
The next fiscal year.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably correct. But, you know, and I remember committing to this, and then a few days ago I was thinking to myself, there's a possibility that we may want to take a little bit out of the OIT and put a little bit into the operator one, but I think what we add to one, we would take away from the other.
Yes, that would.
Yeah.
And so does this take into account if sometime during the course of the year employees get increases in pay?
Yes, this does.
It does.
Yes, this has a 5% across the board. There are certain parameters John goes through with his annual review. They may not all get a 5%, depending on things, but that's the top, tippy top. So there is wiggle room.
Okay.
We do anticipate some people getting more certifications, and that's come with raises too. So.
Well, and we recently talked about CDLs, and that would come with that as well.
Yes.
And is that figured in here somewhere?
That was figured in here too.
Okay.
So on the CDL, if they get the CDL, we have to compensate them for having a CDL.
Well, we'll give them the standard certification bump.
Okay.
We count that as equivalent to a certification.
Yeah. That's fine.
And we need two or four?
We need at least two, and over the course of the next 6-7 months, it may wind up being four.
Because we already have two.
Two.
Okay.
Next.
Okay, so on the next page, medical insurance was less last year than it's projected for this year.
Yes. That had to do with people falling off of the insurance. And so we pay for the full family if somebody has a full family. A lot of our employees are single.
Okay.
So we're not paying for their spouses. Okay. So we take that into account too.
Okay.
Yeah, we did, because we did come in a little under them.
Yes.
So far.
I know. Yeah, well, and we only have one more month to go on that one. Because we pay
so we're going to be real close on that.
It will be very close, yeah. The correct totals, and they do, if you go past this particular spreadsheet to the next spreadsheet, it is correct in that next one. But all these numbers are hand-keyed in, and I just missed two boxes.
So, there, where are they correct?
In the detail back here.
Keep going, one more, or a couple more.
These.
This one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the same, it just does not have the ability to have the actual column, so that's why I made you two.
Got it. Yeah, I had enough these in the brain. So.
Oh, also on the medical insurance thing, that is split up between water and sewer, too. If you work more on the water side and more on the sewer side, you pay more on one side or the other. So that's why those two particular ones don't match.
Okay. Did you find it?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
That
number is this.
Right. Yeah, that's what I have. That's what it added up to.
Yeah, exactly. I did the same thing.
But the totals are right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the totals at the end are all correct.
And the totals correct. In this fund here.
Right. Those ones are correct. Yeah.
And this is really what we're looking to approve.
Right.
Okay. Where do we get the customer assist program money from?
On the revenue side, it is from customers if they want to donate money to help other people. On the expenses side, it's if somebody goes through the process of applying for it. They have to go through CARE. They have to meet certain parameters. I've been here for 7 years, and I've only had one person that qualified.
Do people even know that it exists?
We do talk about it, but there are a lot of hoops to jump through.
Okay.
Very few people take advantage of it.
Very few people can.
Yeah, can. Mm-hmm.
You have to meet a certain income median. Your water has to be locked off already. And then CARE will vet you and prove that you can't make the payment or you don't have a job or all of those things, because if we did it, we could be biased.
Yeah.
We would just let them do it.
Okay, so on 105 water, on payroll taxes, last year 60,000, this year 35,000. That's a huge difference.
Yeah. I'm not sure why we were looking at 60,000 last year.
Oh, you think 60,000?
I think that may have been a mistake.
Okay.
What is it so far this year?
29.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in water, the medical insurance is bumped up in the water section.
Yeah, we're already over budget on that one.
Right. It goes back to there's more time on the water side.
Yeah. And it's hard to anticipate where the employees are going to be needed.
Right.
So how much is my bill going to go up?
$2.48.
$2.48. Woo!
I hope that's okay.
Per month, right?
Per month, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Per month.
Okay. Last year went up.
It went from 101.71 to 103.38. So
just a couple dollars.
That was $2. A couple dollars also. Yeah.
Are we done with the funds?
I think so.
So really there's just one change, and that's the
equipment one.
Yeah. The other is just documentation.
Just give me 5 minutes.
I think so.
Down to the general ledger, just a.
Well, that is just a mesh of the last one we looked at.
That's where all the questions come from.
It's all the
the devil's in the details.
Tom, you had a question about some engineering for a particular project. We have enough already budgeted in there. We've got contingency in all the projects that we put in there. We've got enough that's already in there.
We were talking about, as was mentioned, at the last business meeting, it might have been the meeting before, where we were looking at AC pipe that was on Broughton, and instead of putting a whole new line in, we could tap into the 40 or so customers from the 1 foot line, the 12 inch line, the main line coming from Horn Creek. And the engineering would be fairly simple, but as I understand it, we're still waiting from Parametrics to let us know if that's okay. So it would be considerably less expense. But as you just said, there's enough money, contingency money, to do that if it comes through as a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a project we're considering for the next fiscal year. We haven't got our engineer's blessing to do it yet, because as Tom explained, we have an AC line on Broughton that we want to replace, but we also have a 12-inch ductile iron transmission main on Broughton. If we could simply just swap the taps from all the houses on North Broughton, and I'm talking about from Pacific Road or Pacific Avenue North, which will impact you. If we could simply just swap all the taps from the AC line over to that 12-inch transmission main, we could abandon that AC line with minimal cost and minimal disruption from a traffic perspective and everything else. However, once something is classified by an engineer as a transmission main and not as a water main, they sometimes balk at the idea of hooking up a bunch of sewer or a bunch of water services to it. But that line was put in before our Horn Creek was built, and our now our primary transmission line is the one that goes up Redicop to our 300K reservoir. It's not the one that heads down Broughton anymore. So they may be very open to turning that into just simply a large water main. And if that's the case, that would be a much cheaper approach to abandoning that AC line than having to dig up the road and run a brand new pipeline in addition to the two already on the road. So if we get a approval for that, that may be a project that we try to get done this year. Tom had inquired about possible engineering costs for that. I don't think there'll be much engineering costs because we're just really talking about just changing water taps. So I don't think any engineering costs will be high. Actually, probably the majority of the costs will be to do an as-built of what's been done after the fact in terms of an engineered drawing.
You're going to coordinate with the road, right?
Yes. Okay. But at this point, we don't know the feasibility of doing so yet. But I do know that we do have the budget for any preliminary engineering that might be needed for a job like that, and it shouldn't be much. So
outstanding.
You know, that would be an SDC project, a project funded by SDC dollars, I would think. And we have SDC dollars in reserve for projects like that. So.
Thanks.
We'll stop construction at about 11 p.m. around here.
And block your driveway.
And block your driveway.
Scott, can I stay at your place?
Well, I'd like to have you there, but they're
currently we're blocking his road.
We're blocking his road right now. That is funny. That's exactly what's wrong.
I think we're okay. I think the fresh water is okay, but we just can't flush our toilets.
Yes, you can.
I don't want to go over there.
So my road's on the list sometime soon.
Yes, and you live on hill.
Yeah.
Your road's on our radar screen for sure.
So, Mark, since you're new, do you have any questions?
No, actually, I talked to Rochelle earlier, and she answered, I had a lot of questions, so, since I'm new.
We had a good talk.
I didn't want to take up a lot of time from them.
Are you implying that I did, Mark?
No.
He didn't want to take up your time.
With basic questions. Yours were better questions.
Well, you went to the person with all the answers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Okay. Well, where are we now? I'm kind of confused. So
we've discussed all the funds.
Yep.
At this point.
Is there anything general ledger? Anything else you want to?
Everything else in the book falls from what we just discussed.
Yeah.
So it would seem to me we're at the point of entertaining a motion to approve. No, we have to approve.
Are there any more questions?
Something before.
We entertain a motion to accept the budget.
I move that the budget for 2025-26. Be approved with the changes that Rochelle told us about.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we accept the budget with corrections. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No discussion from the audience? All right. Good job.
Excellent.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody. Do we need a motion to adjourn? We do.
Yes, I guess we do.
Oh. I'll move that we adjourn.
I'll second that, yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Dan.
So do I need to...
I need to know where, why Tom would pay.
Hey, Tom. Here's your gavel back.
Oh, thank you.
I got that from Phil Barbeau. Remember Phil? Remember Phil Barbeau?
Because of course, all approved, there'll be no additional meeting date.
You notice it's pretty cracked and old. I don't know where he is.